Hello, I'm Dr. Andreas Bunglaus, paediatric neurologist and researcher at the Royal Hospital for Children in Glasgow, Scotland. On behalf of my co-author, Dr. Dennis Lal and I, it is my great pleasure to introduce our invited review on sodium channel epilepsies and neurodevelopmental disorders in the July 2020 edition of Developmental Medicine and Child Neurology. Over recent years, we have learned that voltage-gated sodium channels play an important role in different epilepsies and neurodevelopmental disorders. In this review, we explore the underlying biological concepts that explain the phenotypic differences between these disorders and how this might inform treatment. Figure 1 illustrates that voltage-gated sodium channels are transmembrane proteins that consist of an alpha subunit and one or more auxiliary beta subunits. The protein falls into four homologous domains that are highly conserved throughout evolution, and each domain consists of a voltage sensor and a pore. The voltage sensor picks up any change in current and enables channel activation with opening of the pore and initiation of the action potential. There are four brain-expressed voltage-gated sodium channels: SCN1A, SCN2A, SCN3A, and SCN8A, as shown in this table. All four present with different phenotypes, different ages at onset, and different treatment responses. SCN1A presents primarily with Dravet syndrome and genetic epilepsy with febrile seizures plus. It is caused by loss of function in inhibitory neurons and tends to respond to treatments including benzodiazepines, sodium valproate, stiripentol, fenfluramine, or cannabidiol. SCN2A presents either early in the first 3 months of life with benign familial neonatal seizures or O'Hara syndrome caused by gain of function in excitatory neurons that are responsive to sodium channel blockers, or it may present with late onset seizures after 3 months with infantile spasms, a developmental epileptic encephalopathy, or autistic spectrum disorder. Pathogenic variants in the older age group tend to be loss of function and are often treatment resistant. SCN3A has recently been shown to be associated with early infantile epileptic encephalopathy and polymicrogyria, with very early onset seizures in the first weeks of life due to gain of function effects that often respond to sodium channel blockers. SCN8A presents around 4 months of age with early onset epileptic encephalopathy, neurodevelopmental disorders, and movement disorders. It is due to a mixture of gain and loss of function effects, of which the gain of function cases have the best chance to respond to sodium channel blockers, often given at high doses. All four sodium channel genes are expressed at different times in human development, which is illustrated in this figure. The x-axis shows expression of the four sodium channel genes at different ages: prenatal, infant, childhood, 14 years and 21 years. And the y-axis shows their gene expression strength. SCN1A in green has low expression prenatally, however expression increases over time. SCN2A in orange is already highly expressed at prenatal stage and remains expressed throughout life. SCN3A in blue is primarily expressed prenatally with reducing expression over time. And SCN8A in pink is similar to SCN1A in that it is less expressed antenatally, however expression increases steadily over time. We were interested to know how the timing of gene expression relates to the different epilepsy phenotypes and ages at seizure onset. It appears the gene expression timing is directly related to the age at seizure onset of the different sodium channel disorders. Figure 3 shows the different sodium channel variant carriers in relation to the age at seizure onset. For each gene, we compared those with truncating variants versus those with missense variants. SCN2A, which is one of the first genes to be expressed, also presents very early with seizure onset shortly after birth, particularly for those with gain-of-function variants compared to the later presenting loss-of-function variants. Equally, the very early expressed SCN3A missense variants also tend to present very early with seizures in the first days of life. However, missense variants in SCN8A present slightly later, around 4 months of life, followed by SCN1A variants presenting around 6 months, all in keeping with their respective gene expression profiles. We observe a clear pattern of SCN2A, SCN3A, and SCN8A presenting with gain-of-function effects in excitatory neurons, whereas SCN1A presents with loss-of-function effects in inhibitory neurons. Supplementary figure 1 illustrates the co-expression of certain sodium channels and how this differs between fetal and adult brain. We observe a clear pattern of SCN2, 3, and 8A all being strongly co-expressed in the fetal brain and able to compensate for each other's function, whereas SCN1A is not co-expressed. In the adult brain, however, SCN3A is less expressed, but SCN2A and 8A are still co-expressed in excitatory tissue, being able to rescue each other's function. The frequency at which a particular gene is mutated is indicative of how well it is tolerated. The fewer the variants within the general population, the more likely it is that the gene is under evolutionary selection, also called constraint. This figure illustrates how constrained different sodium channel genes are. On the x-axis, high missense z-scores suggest intolerance of missense variants, and on the y-axis, high PLI scores suggest intolerance for truncating variants. In the top right corner, you can see the most constrained sodium channel genes, including SCN1, 2, 3, 5, and 8A. Variants in these genes are unlikely to be found in the general population and are often pathogenic. The others, however, the bottom left, are not as constrained, and such variants are more often found in the general population, including SCN9A. If found in an epilepsy phenotype, these variants are often not disease-causing. Gene tolerance analysis can therefore aid sodium channel variant interpretation. This leads us to a model of sodium channel associated epilepsy and neurodevelopmental disorders. We hypothesize that detailed understanding of gene expression, location and function, as well as timing and seizure onset, can aid the understanding of how different variants contribute to seizures and inform treatment choice. Figure 4 illustrates a simplified neuronal network. Inhibitory neurons are shown in yellow, excitatory neurons are shown in red, and corticospinal neurons in gray. The early onset group on the left leads to seizures either due to less inhibition or more excitation, whereas the late onset group on the right leads to seizures and or neurodevelopmental disorders due to less excitation. In the early onset seizure group, SCN1A is expressed after birth, and missense or truncating variants all lead to different degrees of loss of function, resulting in a balanced shift towards less inhibition and increased excitation. Here, treatment focuses on GABAergic inhibition, whereas sodium channel blockers are contraindicated. In contrast, SCN2, 3, and 8A are predominantly expressed in excitatory neurons, with SCN2A and SCN3A starting prenatally, followed by SCN8A neonatally. Gain-of-function missense variants or duplications result in more excitation, leading to neonatal and early onset epilepsy syndromes that are responsive to sodium channel blockers. In the late onset group, truncating variants lead to decreased neuronal excitability, which might cause persistent alterations in neuronal activity and an autism spectrum disorder phenotype. In the more mature brain, SCN2A channels also project into GABAergic interneurons, and a reduced function in those interneurons might lead to hyperexcitability in late-onset seizures. Sodium channel blockers are often not helpful in individuals carrying such loss-of-function variants. Finally, understanding the biological concepts that underlie sodium channel epilepsy and neurodevelopmental disorders helps us to delineate their different presentations. We find that sodium channel disorder heterogeneity is explained by variant-specific gene expression timing and function. We find that gene tolerance and location analysis aid sodium channel variant interpretation, and that sodium channel variant characteristics could contribute to clinical decision-making, moving closer towards precision medicine in sodium channel epilepsy. We trust you have found this brief summary helpful and hope you will enjoy reading our invited review in the July 2020 issue of Developmental Medicine and Child Neurology.